Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman on your radio. This is the broadcast for June 10th in the year of our Lord, 2022, hour two of two. The goal always to protect life, liberty, and property and to promote God, family, and country on your radio. The good Dr. Scott Bradley with us to preserve the nation, his lifelong goal and collegiate series to match. Oh, wow, we've got a lot to cover, ladies and gentlemen. Very little time to get it done. Dr. Bradley, welcome back, sir.
Well, thank you very much, let's get to it. I mean, if there's that much to cover, we better be exposing the wrath that is about to unfold on this nation if we don't change our ways.
Amen to that reality check. All right, there is a technology that's now out that I mentioned last hour that I want to brief you on really quick and then get your take. The headline says this: a team of former Navy SEALs and military veterans have developed what they call gun detection technology, now implemented already in 25 states, sir. And they say the company was founded in 2018. They say it's an artificial intelligence company that is developed to be a, quote, proactive solution to mass shootings in schools and public places. It's called Zero Eyes technology. And they say it's installed into existing surveillance cameras in schools and in businesses. It uses artificial intelligence and analytics technology that can detect concealed firearms. And then they say, it goes on and on and on, and basically says, this will get somebody to the scene of the crime faster and save lives. My response to that is, look, getting the bureaucrats, the cops there faster doesn't do any good. Every time we saw in Florida and we see in Texas, all they do is stand outside and wring their hands and wait for more military hardware to protect themselves while they let innocents die. So getting somebody there faster isn't going to do any good at all. The only way to stop these criminals is good guys with guns. That's eventually how this one was stopped in Texas. A Border Patrol agent that was off duty borrowed a gun from somebody and went in and stopped the thug. So a good guy with a gun every time stops the bad guys. But this Zero Eyes technology, in my opinion, has fundamental problems. And if you debate, isn't it good to get somebody there faster, a first responder there faster? If that's your debate, you're going to lose every time because you're violating and you're missing the fundamental principles. To use surveillance technology is to violate the privacy of one's person. Furthermore, then after you violate their privacy, you make assumptions. Instantly, somebody's under surveillance. Instantly, you have violated their privacy and determined what they have or not. Instantly, now you're using this AI to determine if their actions are inappropriate or whatever. And then you're having a humanoid do this. And pardon the pun, based on all that, somebody might pull the trigger and create false alarms against you or me or anybody else who's innocent just because we have a right to keep and bear arms and we use that right. We have a concealed gun, whether it be constitutional carry or some kind of concealed carry license, or the list goes on and on. But I bring this up because you're violating fundamental principles. You're instantly violating privacy. You're then taking that to the next level and having artificial intelligence analyze all their actions and make a determination. Then it's a humanoid then deciding to, quote, pull the trigger on, oh my gosh, we better do something about this guy, this person, this whatever. We need to take a step back for a second and jettison the propaganda surrounding this and really understand it isn't about how quick you can detect somebody. It isn't about whether you can become the thought police and decide whether you're going to, stop some criminal or not. It isn't a matter of keeping society safe. It's a matter of God-given liberties. It's a matter of violating one's privacy. It's a matter of we cannot jettison this innocent until proven guilty idea. And we cannot become the thought police with AI intelligence behind it and or some liberal individual that may have an agenda behind it. We cannot go down this road. And to do so, to take the argument down the road, is to already lose the argument if you don't debate fundamental God-given inalienable rights of self-defense from the start. Dr. Bradley.
Well, this whole thing is sick and wrong, but before I comment on that, I probably ought to help dispel a widely held rumor, I guess I'll call it, and that is that the guy jumped out of the barber chair and grabbed a shotgun, ran in and saved everybody. I don't believe that happened. I believe that he got some children out, including his own, and that there was a SWAT-type team that ultimately entered the classroom and took the shooter out after dilly-dallying around until everybody was assassinated. But I think it's widely misunderstood that this guy from the barber chair was the hero of the day. He did go in, he did act, but the fact of the matter is the shooter was ultimately, I believe, taken out by a tactical team that was sent in. Let's go back to this other thing. Orwell missed it, 1984. It happened a little bit later. It's happening today. Orwell's dystopian society is unfolding on us in absolute, at cyclonic speed. And I heard about this detection equipment some days ago. There was a I don't know what you'd call him. It was a law enforcement guy that was on one of the major news media programs touting this detection capability. And it's like, what? Where did this come from? And it is absolutely inherently bad in every single way. It's not going to improve anything. In Utah, for example, if you got a concealed carry, you can carry in the classroom. You can carry going through the front door. Nobody's got any right, and they wouldn't anyway, to question you about it. The idea is gun control, people control that they're trying to foster. Everything that's being said has the end game result of the complete disarmament of the American citizenry. And, you know, let's talk for a second about Matthew McConaughey's impassioned plea. He's replaying the role of the six movie stars that played that role in 1968 for LBJ. He's an actor. He delivers lines. He's very good at it. He's like the great communicator, Ronald Reagan. He was an actor. He could communicate his lines. But just like Gregory Peck and Kirk Douglas and Tom Laughlin and Jimmy Stewart and Charlton Heston and Hugh O'Brien, those six guys can take the credit or the blame, if you will, for clearing the way for the 1968 Gun Control Act when they took the message out and delivered it as impassionedly as Matt McConaughey did. And it's a replay of all of that, but every single step of the way is an effort to disarm America, to take away an individual God-given right. It wasn't invented in the Second Amendment. It was simply a recognition and a canonization, if you will, of that recognition of that right. But this stuff of detection and everything, surveillance, I mean, what do? They undress you when you go somewhere. Oh, wait a minute, they already do that when you go through the Gestapo lines at the airport. We are just being strip searched as we go, just without any hesitation throughout our lives, and American society is becoming a surveillance society. I know that Singapore is way ahead of us, or at least they have been in the past. I'm not so sure how far ahead of us on that curve they are now with this kind of capability. And let's just talk. Oh, we can get there quicker. Well, if a 911 call goes in right now, 5 minutes is probably the best you're going to find. And that's if they respond. Look at the guy in Texas. He shot outside for 12 minutes. He was taking pot shots at things outside the school doors for 12 minutes. Before he even went inside, there was no interdiction of any kind. And we're accepting things that are basically making us more of a tyrannical society, more of a surveillance society, more of a Mother May I society with every single step of the way. And so society has, they're looking for security rather than any kind of liberty. Or we can say is gives life worth living. And I think it was Norman Vincent Peale, 70, something like 200 years ago, Americans roared like lions for liberty, and now they bleat like sheep for security. And for this development to occur, he adopted it. I've got to say that. These guys are playing into the hands of those that wish with all of their hearts to more completely control American society. And so, you know, you say, oh, they're former military personnel. Oh, they're former Navy SEALs. I'll use our old phonetic alphabet. It's Bravo Sierra. We're being fed a line. We are absolutely selling ourselves, our souls, our very, the lives, liberty, and property of ourselves and our posterity. And the Founding Fathers would be appalled at us for doing such a foolish, stupid thing. And we aren't even blinking an eyelash. And right now we're on such a slippery slope that the celebrity status is coming into play, and we are gaining more traction. I mean, we have the Republicans at the negotiating table. They're going to sell us out every bit as much as the Democrats have. I mean, holy cow.
Sadly, you're correct, Dr. Scott Bradley with us, ladies and gentlemen. When we come back, we'll broaden the discussion from domestic control of you and I to the international reality that we face. We'll talk about it on your radio in seconds.
This is a battle between truth and deceit, a battle between forces that would enslave this country in darkness and between a media that wants to present you with the truth.
We are being censored. America's news outlets no longer provide the truth. 90% of news outlets in the United States are controlled by 6 corporations. The mission of the Epoch Times is to chase the truth, to ground all statements in fact.
TheEpicTimes.com.
We at Freedom Factor have a passion for our shared American heritage and want to help restore some of that American pride by emphasizing the documents that made us Americans. Our goal is to put pocket constitutions into the hands of every American and in every school. This effort requires your help. Order your pocket constitutions and browse our website at freedomfactor.org to learn how you can help spread the message of freedom. Read it, know it, share it. FreedomFactor.org.
You know where the solution can be found, Mr. President? In churches, in wedding chapels, in maternity wards across the country and around the world. More babies will mean forward-looking adults, the sort we need to tackle long-term, large-scale problems. American babies in particular are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation-minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, quote, by having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change. The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally. The solution to so many of our problems, at all times and in all places, is to fall in love, get married, and have some kids.
I want to dedicate this song to Mr. Rupert Murdoch.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Dr. Scott Bradley with us, and I'm highlighting this technology that really, I believe, is a problem. It violates fundamental rights of privacy and more. We're talking about this company founded in 2018 called Zero Eyes. They have artificial intelligence. You can literally tell if anybody has a gun. The problem is the downstream reality of that. Violating privacy to know who has what, first of all, is a concern. But we go on. Now the issue is a broader issue, because now they say the U.S. military depends almost completely on the communist nation of China for a mineral called antimony, which is essential to the development and production of ammunition and other defense products. The United States doesn't even have a domestic mine for the mineral antimony, and they say it's used in the production of night vision goggles, armor-piercing bullets, explosives, and nuclear weapons. They say China in particular does a remarkably good job of hoarding these materials. Massachusetts Democratic Rep. Seth Moulton says he's a member of the House Armed Services Committee. That's what he told Defense News. China clearly has a comprehensive global strategy to corner the market on these materials. Now, I'm not here to support the senator or whatever, or the Congress critter on this, but I am here to say this is of great concern, though, depending on the communist nation of China for this stuff. You look at China and Russia, and they output most of this based on this rare mineral, if you will. Dr. Bradley, what do you say to that?
Well, you know, how stupid are we? Oh, it's the maximum, over the top, off the chart, stupid. We in the United States have, we had at one point, we were in the catbird seat. We basically had a ability to produce everything ourselves. We were standalone. We were able to produce what we needed to do, whether it was food, whether it was clothing, whether it was shelter, whether it was education, whether it was military armaments. The United States was the go-to nation for anything and everything that was there. And so we've given everything away. And it's not just some of these rare earth materials that we've got. And by the way, I just, from some inside information, we've found that China has been put in a catbird seat, if you will, in Mexico for some of this rare earth stuff. They already have huge deposits in their geography, but they're going out and locking it up around the world. But we haven't just done it on the rare earth stuff. I mean, things that are, you know, for batteries, for cell phones, whatever. But what we're doing, we sold out our steel-producing capability. Geneva Steel, down in Utah County, Utah, was a huge asset. It was put there in World War II to be untouchable by enemy aircraft and everything in this central location, a huge producer of steel. And because of a lot of regulations and rigmarole and bureaucracy and everything else like that, we sold it to China. That's basically what we've done with every steel production facility in the United States, with the exception of some very small specialty steel productions. Look, people, when we go to build a 60-ton tank, there's a lot of steel in that. There's steel in almost everything we that's military grade, anything. And we have to go to China and on bended knee say, "Mother, may I?" I mean, what do we do? What do we build ships out of? You know, they almost everything. I mean, you look at boot production. You know, boots on the ground, you've heard about that? And we've granted China a most favored nation status. It was made permanent in 2001, so almost two dozen years ago. And we've given China all of their capability that has allowed them to pick our pockets and have the power position in the world. And people are wringing their hands now impotently. Look, back in the 1930s, a law was made that says you can't trade with nations that use slave labor. Everything in China is slave labor. Say, oh, no, it's not. We pay them 15 cents an hour or $15 a year or whatever it comes down to. We pay them. Oh, plus they can eat and they can have a place to live. But no, slave labor camps are made of those kind of things. Look at what happened with the slave labor camps in World War II under the benign influence of the Nazis. And that's where China is. And yes, there are some that are very, 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 very wealthy that are getting that. Some huge societies, but behind the curtain, we're finding that's what we're doing with China. We're encouraging it. We create the best enemies money can buy by the way we treat people like that. And it's illegal to use slave labor and sell product in the United States. But they're pillaging and plundering everything. And yes, indeed, they're taking these rare earth materials and they've got a lock on everything, and the United States is woefully lacking in many of these things, and many of our high-tech things are completely dependent on that, but so are our boots on the ground, and so is our manufacturing of tanks and ships and everything else. And it's all done, I believe, with an idea in mind of completely subverting the United States on the internally as well as externally. It's a multi-level game. They do it at every level, domestically, locally, within the schools. You look at what's happening there and the so-called education that's happening there. It's not a valuable education. It's a social education that's basically molding and manipulating the kids. And you get to college and it's on steroids. I mean, you're going to the temple of the high priests of the humanists and the woke society. We wonder why we get woke kids, because the teachers are teaching it based upon the curriculum. Come on. And the media is broadcasting it. And you go everything from that lowest level possible, what we allow into our homes. The moms and dads are becoming completely complicit in this thing. Kids are being raised in this. You go clear through the globalist level, and it's a multi-level effort to completely eviscerate what Americanist principles allowed us to become. You know, the greatest, freest, strongest, most happy, most prosperous, most respected nation on earth. Tell me where we are in those categories today. It's
other than that, not so bad, right, Doctor?
No, it's not so bad at all. But it happens regardless of who's in power. I don't care who's president right now. They're doing an agenda of red flag laws. Trump promoted those things, believed in them. Oh, what's this thing about due process? No, we'll take care of that later. I mean, the idea, people need to understand we're being gutted by whomever we're foolish enough to put in office. We got to start selecting people based upon character, principles, rather than some smooth-tongued celebrity that's promoting a given idea. And I don't know. I'm all over the place on this, but it's frustrating to see it happening at every level. Unremitting.
Well, and I think we can't leave these issues alone unless we talk about January 6th right now. They're literally peddling propaganda via all these news sites about, insurrection, Donald Trump this and whatever. And, you know, really all this is tied to the election fraud discussion.
Well,
right?
The January 6th, it's absolutely laughable. I mean, it is so orchestrated, so choreographed. I mean, you know, you talk about some of these wrestling competitions that they have professionally now. Yeah, there's an athleticism involved in them, but everything, it's as choreographed as a ballet. And what's happening in this January 6th program is completely choreographed. It's well orchestrated. It's like the conductors in front of them leading the orchestra in their end desired thing. Everybody's reading off their script. And what's happening is basically, it's a political charade. That's all it really is. And this idea of the Eighth Amendment even applying, forget it. Excessive bail shall not be required, nor excessive fines imposed. Some of these people have been in jail for like a year and a half almost. I mean, and it's like, oh, they're insurrectionists. Oh, yeah? Well, what does Congress do every day except for seek to overthrow the freedom of all the land? They've abandoned their constitutional oath. You know, they do everything. You know, you say, okay, Congressman, me what you do, and I'm not going to try and go into the blather they'll say, but go read Article 1. That's your job description, nothing else. You guys are charades. You're empty suits. Well,
ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Scott Bradley, when we come back, I want to talk about the latest in election fraud. It all depends on how you define vote fraud and election fraud, ladies and gentlemen. I'll explain in seconds with Dr. Scott Bradley on Liberty Roundtable Live.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
You USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
The Consumer Price Index released Friday indicates the U.S. economy is still failing. May CPI price increase is another 1%. 8.6% inflation is now at a 40-year high. Shelter, gas, and food are all up again. This week's Summit of the Americas is becoming a big question mark as President Biden made the decision not to be inclusive to countries in the region. Cuba, Nicaragua, and Venezuela were snubbed by President Biden by not getting an invitation. In turn, the leaders of Mexico, Guatemala, Salvador, Bolivia, and Honduras have snubbed the event.
This city is testament to the connections that bind us and our capacity to achieve great things together.
President Biden speaking at the opening ceremony. Thanks for listening. It's well appreciated. We are USA Radio News.
You ever make a change and then think, why didn't I do this years ago? Well, that's how people feel about switching to MediShare for their health care, especially now with inflation the way it is. People are very happy with the savings. Most families save about $500 a month when they switch. It's a huge help when prices are going up so fast in so many other areas. And MediShare's customer satisfaction rate is double that of health insurance. It's just a different experience, and people really like that. MediShare is an alternative to health insurance. It's a community of Christians who share each other's health care bills, and it's been going strong for over 25 years. It really is the gold standard, the most trusted name in health care sharing. Find out why people love it. Find out why they rave about the customer service, and find out how good it feels to save some money right now. They're super easy to talk to. Here's the number, 833-34-BIBLE. That's 833-34-BIBLE, 833-34-BIBLE.
The Senate on Wednesday voted 51-49 against President Biden's nominee for an assistant secretary post for the Labor Department, with Vice President Kamala Harris in Los Angeles and unable to cast a tie-breaking vote. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer, the Democrat from New York, changed his vote to no and filed a motion to allow him to bring up the nomination again for a vote in the future. As summertime starts to heat up, the Southwest is ready to really sizzle.
The National Weather Service is predicting a dangerous and deadly heat wave across the Southwest through the weekend. The Weather Service in Phoenix, Arizona, is saying over 25 million people are under heat alerts, and dozens of daily high temperature records could be broken from Texas to California. Triple-digit highs are expected across the Southwest, with some areas topping 110. Las Vegas could hit 109 on Friday, and Phoenix could hit 115. From the USA Radio News Phoenix Bureau, I'm Tim Berg.
USA Radio News.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Sam Bushman, Dr. Scott Bradley on the line. Dr. Scott Bradley's website, freedomsrisingsun.com. There's so much to talk about. It's just amazing. So let's jump right in, Dr. Bradley. Headline says this. Supreme Court allows Pennsylvania to count undated signed ballots. Now, state law required mail-in ballots to be accompanied by a, quote, signed and dated declaration. But now a federal appeals court has now ruled that, quote, undated declarations sufficed just fine. The Supreme Court said on Thursday that election officials in Pennsylvania may count mail-in ballots by voter declarations, but, well, they need to be signed, but not really dated. Don't worry about that. Not really a big deal. The court's order now comes in a tight race, and they say it will affect other races. They say, look, a handwritten date on there is so inconsequential that it doesn't really matter. And so that is the rub. Now, recounts are happening right now. People are making allegations of vote fraud. But I guess it all depends on how you define vote fraud. Is it vote fraud when people turn in a mail-in ballot And then they don't really have a date on the ballot. So how do you know if they voted in time? How do you know if it should be counted? How do you know? And so we've got a big problem now, because if you let the courts decide that nothing's fraud, that every vote can be counted no matter what the circumstances are, you have literally then pretended there's no fraud, but you've also perverted the elections to the point where we'll never have an honest election again, doctor.
Yeah, we need to talk about this for a few minutes here, but before I do that, let me just maybe say something for the benefit. I don't know. I hope it has some value for your listeners. Why did Chuck Schumer vote against that confirmation? And the real answer is it was a legislative rules ploy. And the reason for it is this. Okay, a tie vote, Kamala wasn't there to break that vote, as it was noted in the newscast. And consequently, they were going to lose because it was a tie. Tie goes, the thing doesn't pass, okay? And so Chuck Schumer changed his vote to no. Why would he do that? Well, there is a rule that says if someone voted against a particular act, a particular movement, whatever that was before the body, that person, if they voted no, can bring it up again. See, if you vote yes, you can't bring it up again. And so that's the reason behind Chuck Schumer swapping votes. He wants to play this game again when Kamala's in town. We ain't done yet with that issue, people. Okay, anyway, let's go on to this other thing, this vote fraud thing. When they're moving the goalposts constantly, and there is, I mean, it's kind of like you're out there on the soccer field playing ball, and somebody picks it up, and they run with it. The paradigm, the whole rule of the game has just been violated. Oh, we changed it. We changed it. Right here on the go, and everything's fine. And, you know, there's no fouls, everything's fine. Here's the deal. The original intent of the American Founding Fathers was that the states were to be in control of the voting, of the process of voting. If we look at Article 1, Section 4, we find that, it reads, the times, places, and manner of holding elections for senators and representatives shall be prescribed in each state by the legislature thereof. Okay, now there's no period, and I'm going to go on with this because in the interest of clarity and understanding, we need to read the whole thing. Okay, so really they wanted the state legislators to be the ones in charge. But, it's after the comma, the Congress may at any time by law make or alter such regulations except as the place of choosing senators. A new paragraph then begins. Okay, why the heck is that but there? Well, in the original time, you know, the 1787, 88, 89 time frame, there was a high probability some states wouldn't want to play the game. They might not send a contingent. They might decide to ignore and just do their own thing or whatever. And so the if they didn't hold elections and send somebody to the senator of the House, there wouldn't be a full quorum there. They couldn't do their job, and pretty soon everybody's broke down. So Congress wanted to be able to say, yes, you are going to hold an election. But it did not open the door for them to come in and take full control. If there were time, we would review every single thing that's happened since then, based on amendments and processes that are put into place, that is having the United States general government take control of the elective process in contravention of the original intent of the American Founding Fathers. What is happening right now, and you look at these voter bills that are before Congress that have passed the House but not the Senate. They want to take control of the election process. They want to canonize, if you will, make sacred, holy and unchangeable, the idea that how the election was stolen in 2020, it could be stolen again at any time. All of the safeguards are being taken away by putting this at the general government level. And that's what these big bills are seeking to do. Now, with the court intervention on this thing, it's kind of like, well, I know it says they got to be dated, but my goodness, that's such an inconsequential thing. Let's not worry. Wait. Is this a republic or a democracy? Oh, it's a republic. No. That's just one word. We can change it. It's not a big deal. What about this shall not be infringed stuff? Oh, well, infringement really doesn't mean putting common sense laws in place that are see, if you start weasel wording everything that happens, is then suddenly you've got you don't have a constitution. You've given it away. And the fact of the matter is the Constitution's written in plain English. Each one of those words has a meaning. We may know the meanings of those words. They can only mean what they meant in the day they were written. And they can't mean anything because anybody else casts a new net out there and tries to bring in strange fruit or fish. This thing, we are just becoming a nation of opinions based upon who is placed in an office. And so that's why the great effort to say, well, we've got to control the courts by whose agenda is being put forth. No, it's a pretty straightforward game. It says it or it doesn't. Now, admittedly, what they're saying here was a state-passed law. But the law says you've got to have a date on it. The states were to be in charge of their election process. But now a federal court intervention is saying, ah, man, come on, get over it. We can't be so persnickety about that. I mean, the low-information voter, as has been called through the years, they maybe didn't know the date. Or maybe they didn't know how to write it. I guess their vote should be counted.
Or maybe they missed it by a little bit, and it was really the post office's fault. You see, it's not really their fault. And, you know, all I'm telling you is what we've done is when we make allegations of vote fraud, everything, that, if you take it off the table, literally there's been experts now that have researched and over 350,000 dead people literally voted in the latest, presidential election. 350,000 people across all 50 states. At least, or dead people on the voter rolls. Of course, that's not fraud. That's just an oversight, right? Now these mail-in ballots with no date. Forget the law. That doesn't matter. The date doesn't matter. And we go on and on and on to where, you know what? We don't have a nation of laws anymore. We don't follow the law. We just simply kind of run it as we go. However we feel. Who's ever in power just simply gets to say and do whatever they want to do, doctor.
Well, this nation never was intended to be a monarchy or an elected monarchy. There are limits and bounds to everybody's office. Nobody can run just, willy-nilly and down through the posies and daisies in the pasture. They are to be within their limits and bounds. Everybody takes an oath when they obtain office to uphold the United States Constitution. And, of course, if you're in the state legislature or some other office within your state, you take an oath to uphold your state constitution. Those limits and bounds are clearly and well-defined. They're the guardrails, if you will, for our liberty. And nobody, I can't think of one, not one, I'm sorry, of our elected officials today that upholds that. Now, there are some that do it a little better than others, but I make the point oftentimes, if they're a 75%er, think about that in your marriage vows. Oh, I'm going to be faithful 75% of the time. Ask your spouse how that'll go. You're only going to be unfaithful 1 week a month. Or a 90%er, you're going to be unfaithful 3 days a month. Come on, people. We got to hold these people accountable for their oath to uphold every single word that's there. And it's sacred. Sounds like we got to take another break.
Hang tight, ladies and gentlemen. Sam Bushman, Dr. Scott Bradley on your radio. I've got a bunch of other headlines to highlight as well. We'll do it in seconds on your radio.
In message one, we said that Satan, the father of lies, John 8:44, gave the left evil spiritual power the more they use the lies. The political left today is the beast. Now the Bible confirms that the dragon gave him, the beast, his power. Revelation 13:2. The extra evil spiritual power that comes from the beast by their lying is what accounts for the string of the leftist criminals in the government that have never yet been prosecuted. It also explains why American capitalists support communism in the 21st century. Note 1. That behavior of capitalists was predicted by Vladimir Lenin, a cell of the beast. Note 2. Henry Ford was a capitalist, and he would have never gone communist. The difference between Ford and the present-day end-time capitalists is that Ford was born and educated in the Kingdom of Christ, 19th century America, the New Jerusalem, Revelation 21.
The CDC just reported that 7,218 people died after receiving a COVID-19 shot. Granted, vaccines are a complicated concoction of chemicals, and as with any medical experiment, it can take a long time to get it right. This is not the first time people have been hurt when vaccinated. What is different this time, and so concerning, is the reaction to these death numbers. Let me explain. In 1976, the government vaccinated 45 million people for swine flu. A total of 53 people died after getting that shot, and the U.S. government immediately halted the vaccination program. Why? Because authorities decided it was too much of a risk. Why would they halt the program back then for 53 deaths, but now, with over 7,000 deaths, they are using every method possible to force it on you? In fact, now the health authorities are using their power to silence anyone who dares to question the COVID vaccination. Why? Why is anyone that questions COVID silenced? Even doctors are being censored. What's up with that?
Paid for by Ammon Bundy for governor. VoteBundy.com.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. So many things to talk about, so little time. This vote fraud thing is a problem because, again, if the government, including the courts, are just simply going to dismiss cases, like when Texas goes to the Supreme Court and says, hey, you know what, these other states are literally violating their own laws. We got to call a halt to this. And the courts say, we're not even going to discuss it with you. Shut up, sit down, you have no standing, gone. When we go to Congress and they say, oh my gosh, January 6th, insurrection took place. And you know what? We're not even going to talk about this with you. Congress sidesteps the issue. Doesn't even deal with it at all. Even though 150 plus congressmen and senators believe there is some kind of a vote fraud or vote irregularity problems. Now you literally have the Supreme Court allowing Pennsylvania to say, you know what? It doesn't even matter if these things, these ballots mail-in or dated. Doesn't matter if there's a date on them or not. If you jettison vote fraud at every turn, I guess there's no vote fraud. There's just criminal activity and dishonesty. But of course, it's never a vote fraud discussion. Do you have a final point on this before we move on, Doctor? We have several more stories to cover real quick.
Let's just quickly tell your listeners to go to the Constitution, read Article 1, Section 4. Okay, that was the original intent. But then we look at Amendments 14, 15, 17, 19, 24, 26, and the 1965 Voter Act, where the general government has seized control of this, and now it's being done in the courts. You tell me where we are in abiding by original intent, and you tell me if we've got a happier, more prosperous nation. Let's go on to your other things. We can't, I guess we can't get bogged down, unfortunately.
All right, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. I'm just telling you, we've got to deal with these issues and create accountability, though. All right, here's the next headline. HIV-positive individuals may now serve in the U.S. military, sir, no problem. But the Pentagon continues to ban those who refuse to get COVID-aided or COVID vaccines. They can't serve. Think about that. So if you're HIV-positive, you can go ahead and serve in the military. If you won't take the vax, you're out. Doctor?
Okay, so we've said this a number of times in this broadcast and say it often during our little get-togethers. What is the real intent of what's going on here? And obviously, it's not an America-friendly, let's preserve the nation attitude. When I served, and admittedly, it was well over 50 years ago, there was stuff that happened like direct transfusions. If in an emergency situation, you took it out of one arm and put it in another one to save a life. And I don't know how much they're doing of that nowadays, but the fact of the matter is, you wanted people that could perform whatever duty they were called upon to perform. And nowadays, if somebody's going to give you an HIV infusion, you might want to think about that a little bit. But the idea that they're going into is let's homosexualize our nation's defenses. And let's make certain that transgenders and people that have got some kind of made-up sexual status or something, I don't know what it is, that have some kind of misunderstanding about their God-ordained status. Anyway, it's no longer an issue to prevent to preserve the nation and defend against all enemies, foreign and domestic. That doesn't happen anymore. What we're doing now is we're undermining. Think about, you always say people in battle, they die for mom and apple pie and the girlfriend back home or whatever. That isn't true. I mean, as much as we'd like to idealize that and make it kind of stars in our eyes kind of thing, you die on the battlefield to protect your brother that's next to you, your comrade in arms. That's what it really boils down to. You're willing to go the extra mile, to make that extra sacrifice because of that brotherhood that's found among these people that are locked in these life and death struggles. And what's happening is there's an esprit de corps that's being destroyed. This idea that, this stuff's worth dying for. No, not really. If I can fragment and balkanize, they call it in nations, where you get all these little divergent directions everything's going. If we can balkanize the military, our unit cohesiveness is going to be destroyed, and we're ultimately and finally going to unravel in the most critical times. And it's a sad commentary. Some of your audience may remember the term fragging, when some individuals in the war zones got out of hand. Those that they were with took care of the business. I mean, I just don't know how much of this is going to happen when push comes to shove under the most intense moments that anybody will ever experience in their life. I don't know where it's going to go and what they can do to weaken that. I mean, you talk about putting women in the combat zones. Real men are wired to protect their women. And maybe in that effort, they'll lose sight of what the mission that needs to be accomplished. And I just don't know. We are unraveling everything. And this idea with the HIV positive service, it's just one more cog in a giant set of gears that are getting sand thrown in them, and ultimately and finally will grind to a halt. It's tragic.
All right, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Critical issues. All of them. According to Gas Buddy, the national average is over $5 a gallon now. Dr. Bradley, this is a serious one, though. This is starting to impact the truckers to be able to deliver goods and services. This is starting to impact people's ability to go on vacation, even go to work now. This is serious.
Oh, it's beyond serious. I mean, you look at where gas was a couple of years ago. I mean, it's doubled. That's the bottom line. I mean, and you ask the question, well, what does it have to do with truckers? Yeah, stop and think about it. How do you get the gas to the gas pumps? Truckers bring them in. How do you get your groceries to the grocery store? Truckers bring them in. How do you get carpet for your floor? Truckers bring them in. I mean, you look at everything. And if their fuel costs have doubled, and they have more than doubled when you look at the diesel side of things, how long can they do that? It was a small trucker. I think he had three trucks. Lament that he had about the costs that he was experiencing. And his position was, we can't keep doing this. Okay, so someone will say, no, you can. We'll pay you more to bring the goods in. Well, okay, so what does that do to the price of the goods? The goods prices go up. It's an inflationary process that happens because, well, inflation itself is created by government, and the gas problems were created by government. This thing with Putin and Ukraine and all that kind of stuff is utter nonsense to blame it on that. Food shortages, forget it. We don't need to talk about that. Again, the United States could stand alone in every category if it was smart enough to quit giving everything overseas. But that's where it's going to go. We're either going to be faced with truckers saying, we can't make it into your town this month. Or, okay, whatever price, you name a price, we'll get you here, we'll pay for your gas. Well, then the question becomes, can we get the gas? And what these new additives that they're requiring to go into them. We're burning our own food, by the way, now, by requiring this ethanol stuff. You say, we're not burning, it's a different kind of corn. Well, if you weren't planting that kind of corn, you'd plant foodstuffs. So, yeah, we're, in essence, burning our own food. But when you talk about what it costs to to bring ethanol to the marketplace to put in the gasoline that ultimately and finally causes more carbon footprint, if you will. I mean, you got to still plow the field. You've got to still plant the seeds. You still got to water it with irrigation pumps that are powered by gasoline engines. Or
yeah, the idea that we can avoid this is insanity. So here's the next headline that relates. 16 states sue Postal Service over new gas-powered trucks. They claim they're not environmentally friendly enough, and they're suing the post office, buddy.
Okay, well, let's look at the cost, the actual umbrella cost, everything included, of bringing these new electrical vehicles to the market. When you consider these rare earth materials that are controlled outside of our country, largely, as we talked about earlier, when you consider the refinement process, the mining processes, when you consider the manufacturing processes, there is no crossover point in terms of energy that you're going to conserve by doing it on these electrical vehicles. That where does the electricity come from? I don't know. You plug it in and it's there. It's a miracle. And no, that's got to be generated somehow. Where? Oh, probably a coal-fired plant. Really? So that does a carbon footprint. I mean, come on. That may be a natural gas plant. I don't know. There's lots of different ways. Probably not nuclear power. But the fact of the matter is that we are saying we're looking at one little tiny component of a formula, and we're not looking at the big picture. And consequently, the real true energy costs for these electric cars are higher than these gasoline-powered or diesel-powered engines that are that were killing that industry, and ultimately and finally we won't be able to generate electricity. Can you imagine? So yeah.
So the idea, though, that they're going to sue the Postal Service over these gas-powered trucks, I just don't know where we're going. Everything in society is absolutely just destroy everything everywhere, all around you. Absolutely pure destruction in the courts, in the car, everywhere. So now the United States, though, don't worry, though, they're going to widen their inquiry into the Tesla and the safety of the autopilot. You see, they want to know if autopilot there is safe now. So how long has autopilot been around on the Teslas? How many crashes have we seen? Now they're going to have government look into it to see if it's okay?
You know, you know what?
It's just insane.
Come on. We need to start driving our own vehicles, taking responsibility for raising our own children. Let's grow our own groceries, for crying out loud, as much as possible. I mean, where we want to turn everything over to some government agency, some bureaucracy, some other stinky person that makes foolish decisions in their own lives that are going to drive our own lives for us. I just cannot believe how we're willing to offload everything until there was an old song back in 1969 in the year 2525. You probably remember it, Sam. You're a kind of a music affectionario about if man is still alive. I don't know. You just go back and listen to it. We've become vegetables almost. Vestiges of arms and legs are just left is all because we're turning everything over to somebody else. We want to sit on our fat butts and push our little computer screens around and call it good. It is absurd. Grow a backbone, people. Start living your life again, for goodness sakes. It's absurd. Anyway, Sam, go on with your list. I know we're out of time.
There you have it. That's really the last one. And I'm just telling you, the things that we're talking about are just insane. I mean, everything in society is just off the rails. You can't even believe we're discussing these things in a serious way. But you have to, or else they're just going to sell us down the river. Final word is yours, Dr. Bradley.
Well, we have a foundation. We have a back trail. We can find it. We can make it back if we are willing to learn the principles and live by them. And they all come from God. If we turn our hearts, minds, and souls to God and His ordained formula, we can save this nation. And we've just got to take some control of our lives and just go back and do it.
Amen to that, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you, Dr. Scott Bradley. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Live, available live and on demand at libertyroundtable.com and lovingliberty.net. Spread the word. BradyOnRadio.com. Thank you as well. We declare this nation shall endure. God save the Republic of the United States of America.